next week, and we'll just keep continuing through. If you didn't get to hear Proverbs 5, be a pretty important proverb to hear. You might want to get the CD, or you can listen online. You can watch the DVDs online. I was so blessed. I guess it was the day before yesterday, I watched Larry's message. Larry spoke last Sunday. Boy, I just wept as Larry exhorted the body. If you didn't hear last week's message on using your gifts, I would encourage you to get on the internet and watch it on the web, or listen to it on the web, or load it on your iPod. But with what God is doing in our fellowship, it was a very important message, and I really just sense God's heart in having Larry address us. I want to share with you about what's happening with the house churches. Some of you know what's going on with house churches, and some of you don't know. And I want to start by making this statement that, and maybe you've heard me make it before, and maybe today I'll be a little less maybe of our normal study and a little more just sharing with you what's going on in our church. But maybe you've heard me say before, if we're doing one thing right, and then you fill in the blank. If we're doing one thing right, I know we're doing the right thing teaching the Word. Don't you know that? Being a church, we started in Matthew, we went to Revelation, we started in Genesis, we're in Proverbs 6. And how God's hand has been upon that journey through the Bible. And frequently people will tell me, you know, I've been going to this church for 3 months or a year. I've learned more in the last 3 months or year that I've learned in all the years I've gone to church because I'm going through the Word. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or truth, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Apart from God's Word, we're going to never be the men and women of God that God wants us to be. We're going to be incomplete. We're not going to be equipped to walk in what God has for us. And His Word plays such a huge part. In your bulletin this morning, there was also an Old Testament bookmarker. And as you're going in to the new year as a church family, we read through the New Testament together, and I want to encourage you to start reading through the Old Testament if you haven't read through the Old Testament. Or maybe you're somebody here and you say, no, I need to start in the New Testament. You could still pick that up on the back table and start reading through the Bible. You know, if we're doing one thing right, we're teaching the Word. If we're doing one thing right, to be exhorting you to read the Word yourself. Boy, that is the right thing. And on we fill in that list. If we're doing one thing right, spending time worshiping. Boy, if we're doing one thing right, we get together and we begin to allow the Spirit to move on us and sing to God how much we adore Him, how beautiful He is, you know, and to begin to sing choruses of praise to Him. The Bible says that He's enthroned in the praises of His people. And if we're doing one thing right, when we gather together congregationally, we're in the Word, we're spending time worshiping God. If we're doing one thing right, there's a weekly prayer meeting for 14 years. And I guess actually I can always keep track of it. It's been 15 years now because I have a 16-year-old. And she was 1 year old when we came and we started a prayer meeting. And you're part of a church that for 15 years there's been a Saturday night prayer meeting. Last night, between 50 and 100 people were here crying out to God as we go into the new year for a move of His Spirit. And boy, you could just sense last night at the prayer meeting that we're already moving toward that week of fasting and prayer and be crying out to God for a breakthrough, for revival, for life of the Spirit to just fill our body in this city. And if we're doing one thing right, we're praying as a church. And you know, last year's week of fasting, that grew from not only weekly prayer meetings, but now you're part of a church where there's a daily prayer meeting. And Monday through Friday, the church prays here. There's a half hour of worship in the morning and a half hour of prayer. And 10 people or so, sometimes 7, sometimes 15, they fill the prayer chapel. And every day of the week, there's prayer. And every day that I'm there, I hear those interceding for the rest of us in the body. And if we're doing one thing right, there's a prayer meeting at our church. There's now daily prayer. If we're doing one thing right as a church body, we're going to we're growing in fasting and praying. This is our second year. We'll be fasting and praying. And Jesus taught us. He didn't say, if you fast. You read Matthew 6. You read the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you fast. And then he tells us, you know, that we're to not draw attention to ourselves and disfigure our faces, but seek your Father who's in secret, and he'll reward you openly. It's not if you fast, it's when you fast. If we're doing one thing right, and I think of these things, and you're going to hear the whole thought as we finish here, but if we're doing one thing right, we're taking communion weekly. And there was a season in our church where, like many Protestant churches, we took communion once a month at a midweek study. And I began to evaluate that about 30% of our body was taking communion once a month. And we were in the Old Testament, I don't know how many years ago, 5 years ago, and we were studying in Genesis and about Isaac and how Isaac began to dig again the wells of old that Abraham, his father, had dug. Because the Philistines, the enemy of Abraham and Isaac, had filled up those wells. And Isaac began to dig those wells again, and God just really began to speak to me of the wells that were in the early church were the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, communion, Acts 2:42. Those were the wells of the early church, and they continued steadfastly. They devoted themselves constantly to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to prayer, to breaking bread. You put that scripture up a little early, Larry. That's not the one. It's coming. You can put it up. But, you know, God just began to speak to my heart that, man, we're in the Word weekly. We're praying weekly. The fellowship's happening in our church. But, man, once a month on a weeknight, we come to the communion table. And I just began to grieve over being the leader of this church. And God just began to speak to my heart, Rob, you just provide the table and I'll take it from there. You just lead my people to what I did for them and I'll take over from there. And, you know, there are many, many Sundays where we examine ourselves in a much deeper way. And then there are other Sundays where just part of communing and abiding in Christ, we're remembering his death, his broken body, his shed blood. If we're doing one thing right, we're baptizing people all summer long. God began to break my heart for the lack of baptizing and that was going on in our body. And consequently, there's a baptism now. That's an incredible story. Oh my goodness, it's an incredible story how that baptismal got there. And you've watched as hundreds of people are being baptized every summer in the baptismal. And if we're doing one thing right, we could say that, you know, there's a heart for missions here. And on, there's a heart for the poor here in ministry to the poor. There's a heart for the youth. Opportunities are given to come to Christ. If we're doing one thing right, we're given opportunities for people to come to Christ. And how God has blessed that. And every week, people come to Christ here. If, you know, we were to evaluate what our strengths and our weaknesses are, I think these would all be strengths of this fellowship. And I think it's real that every church has strengths and every church has weaknesses. Another strength in our body would be the way people have a heart to serve here. And maybe you realize that or not, but there's about 300 to 400 people that serve regularly in this body. We might be a body of somewhere around 1,000, maybe 1,200 if everybody came. And 300 to 400 people in this body serve regularly, diligently. And that's a real strength in this body. But then if we were to evaluate where we're weak, over the last 15 years, one of the things that my heart has just been burdened for is community and fellowship, deep fellowship in our body. And for the last 15 years, it's just been, and the leaders of our church know that my heart's just been broken for that. And don't get me wrong, there are pockets of fellowship here. There are pockets of fellowship that are flourishing here. But for the last 15 years, my heart's just been burdened for the larger body. The summer barbecue has been a huge, has met a huge need. Every summer we stay, we barbecue, we spend time together. There's been such a need for that. And every summer it's like, oh, Lord, I wish it could be like this all, year long. Every time we go on a missions trip and you're on that trip of 20 people and you bind together so tightly, there's part of you that just wishes, oh, couldn't all of our body experience this? Every time you go to Israel and you're on a bus with everybody for 2 weeks straight on that bus, worshiping and eating together and studying, there's part of you that just thinks, ah, Lord, that I just wish our whole body had this type of depth with one another. And for the last 15 years, I've been burdened as your pastor. One of the questions I felt like the Lord was asking me recently is, what are people being saved into here? Of course, we were, being saved into Christ and into His body and into His church. But what does our local church look like? Are people just being saved into, a body where they come and attend? And you get, you worship for a half hour and you hear a message for 45 minutes and, you say a couple hellos and greet each other and is that it? Because God has just been burdening my heart that He has so much more for us as a church family. There was a woman that her son goes to college here, and she came to one of our prayer times, and she had a word of prophecy. And she said, I just feel like the word for your fellowship is much, much more. And the Bible says to test all things and hold fast to that which is true. And man, I cannot let go of that. That word has just been burned in my heart that God has much, much more for us as a fellowship. And I believe what God is doing right now in house churches, and I'm going to share with you what He's doing, is part of that fulfillment of God having much, much more for us. God has much, much more for us than just coming and being part of a half hour of worship and hearing a message and kind of, bumping into each other. Well, good to see you too. See you next week. God has much, much more for us. And again, I know there are pockets of fellowship. There are those of you in our body that there are pockets that are absolutely flourishing. It's interesting to understand the last 15 years, we've had a midweek study here at the church. And there's been a couple hundred people, maybe between 100 and 250 people over the years that have attended that midweek study. And that's been fruitful. And yet, here we are again. We're another half hour worship, another 45 minutes. And so often people would be new to the church and they come to the midweek and I really want to get plugged in. And it's a half hour worship and the word is taught and God has certainly blessed the word being taught here. And then you maybe get a cookie or bump into each other and, it's time to go. And there just hasn't been the depth, I don't believe, in our body the last 15 years. Even the small groups that have been there, in my heart, I sense how, for whatever reason, they've been under the radar in our church. And this last year, a year ago in November, I guess it was a year ago, December, I had surgery on my vocal cords. And I came into the new year and thinking I'd be able to get back and I just couldn't get back to the midweek study with where my voice has been. And as we've been through this last year, I believe now in a sense, God has stopped what has been going on for 15 years. The midweek study has come to a stop. In hindsight, I think in a sense, God's been correcting the course of our church. And again, it's been a lot of wrestling to just realize, the whole year, the midweek study has stopped. And just wrestling with, starting the midweek study back up. And we had an elders meeting at the end of summer. And for probably a month, I was laying out what I was going to share with all the elders and all the deacons and the leadership conferences and couples retreats and, all the different men's and women's. And we have all the dates. And I had laid out on a piece of paper that the midweek study was going to start back up in the fall. And man, did I begin to wrestle with the Lord. I had it written down. I even showed up at the meeting with the date that the midweek study was going to start back up. But man, I just was wrestling with the Lord and just felt, you know, in the New Testament, there's a passage that says that the Holy Spirit forbid Paul to go in a certain direction. And I don't know if I could say it was that strong that the Holy Spirit forbid me, but it was similar to that, just feeling forbidden to go in that direction. And all of our elders, all of our deacons were there. I think even all the wives were there at that particular meeting. And I pretty much just broke in front of all of our leadership saying, you know, I have this even written down, but I don't know what's going on. We've done this for 14 years, but God's just not allowing me to go forward, you know, with another night in our church where it's a half hour of worship and 45 minutes of study and a few minutes to bump into each other. And God had just been stirring my heart for house churches. And it's interesting, I was sharing that a little bit with our body. I was sharing with them how that was something I was entertaining. And at that meeting, I was just kind of breaking that maybe God is just changing the direction of this church. And I began to look around that room that night. And, you know, we have about 24 elders in this church. And close to 15 or 20 deacons in our church. And I began to look around at the leadership of our church. And I remembered when we started the church 15 years ago, how the Lord very clearly spoke to me, that, Rob, be careful to lay hands on no man hastily. Go slow. And for a couple, 3-4 years, we didn't have any leaders. We didn't have any elders or deacons. We just had helpers. And God was just, you know, saying, go very slow before you lay hands on people and recognize people as leaders. And God was bringing to my memory how we were once there. And I looked around the room that night and I saw all of our leaders that have now been with us for years. And it was interesting because I, you know, now I sense the Lord saying, now the leaders are in place. Now trust the leaders. Now allow the leaders to lead. Challenge the leaders to lead. And I began to look around the room. In fact, I did. And I called out every leader in our room that every one of you are capable of leading. God has raised you up. And God began to just stir my heart. Bring it up now, Larry. Acts 2:46 with the house churches. And we read in the book of Acts that continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And it goes on to say that the Lord added to the church daily, but they continued daily in the temple in a greater congregational gathering, but then also house to house. And again in Acts 5. Throughout the book of Acts, daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease to teach and teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And God just really began to stir my heart for what I began to sense He was saying, house churches, smaller house churches in the midst of this larger church. And as a result of the stirring, and again, all this was happening at the end of summer. As a result, today, 20 house churches are starting in our body. Today, five of the house churches start tonight on Sunday night. There's one in Albany. I think there's three in Corvallis. There's one in Lebanon starting tonight. One of them is a young adult house church for college student age. But even with that said, for the college students, you know, it may not, you know, in real life, they have the small groups and there's a young adult, a house church starting tonight. But it may be that the healthier place would be for you among the families of our church. And you're away from home and it'd be a blessing for you to be part of a house church. This week, over 20 house churches are starting here at Calvary. And it is pretty exciting what God is birthing, because there's between 500 and 600 people in our body that are responding and are part of the house churches. So there is really a significant move that's happening right now in our church. We're moving away from just being a church that comes and hears a message and leaves, and we're not in each other's lives. And I believe we're going to see this is going to change the fabric of this church. This is we're going to see the greatest change we've seen in our church, the greatest depth. And it was beautiful. Even last night, there were words of prophecy given about the depth that God is coming, that we're going to recognize in time to come that God has taken our church to a new depth with each other. And as you, if you don't have one of these, you can look at one. Most of us probably do have one. Every night of the week, there's a house church. And we were all gathered together as leaders, and God worked it out that way, where every night of the week, there'd be that type of convenience for you in the body to say, you know, every night of the week, there's an opportunity that there's got to be a night that works for you. And one of our elders had such a word that it was so good that it was this convenient. But then his heart just broke when he said, you know what, though? It's not about our convenience. It's wonderful that it's conveniently there for you. But you know what? Christianity isn't about your convenience. You need fellowship. We need to be in community with each other. And I want to just exhort you today, those of you in the body that aren't yet part of a house church, to really pray about becoming one of these 20 house churches that are starting. And we might ask the question, what is a house church? And when there's been lots of feedback, the house church, what does that mean? That would be very similar to what people call a home fellowship. We're just calling it a house church. And again, the vision for the house churches are smaller churches in the midst of our larger church. That everybody in our body could get plugged into a smaller church on one of the different nights of the week within our larger church. And when we talk about house churches, maybe it'd be helpful to know what a house church is not. A house church is not a half hour of worship, a 45-minute message, and a cookie, and you leave. So that the house church would be a place where, based on what we're taught on Sunday morning, we're going to go deeper. Hey, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your possessions. Let's talk about that. How do we do that? How long have you been doing that? How do you do that? Do you tithe even when you can't afford it? Do you write your tithe check the first thing? What's the difference between a tithe and offering? And we talk and share and exhort one another. And, you know, whether it's a morning we spent talking about sexual immorality or spent talking about the fear of the Lord, the house churches are going to be the place that we're going to discuss and talk. Hey, you know what Rob said? I don't know if I agree with that, what he said. You know, and someone else, yeah, I don't know if I agree with that either, you know. And it's a time to talk it through. What does that mean? I think maybe it means more this. And pull out the sheet you were handed when you came in, the one another's of the New Testament. And when we're talking about what the house churches are, this is where my mind goes. I'm aware of the one another's in the New Testament. And let's look at those. Let's read through those this morning. And this is really what the vision is for the house churches in our church. A new commandment I give to you. The first verse there, John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And certainly there's a place to love each other in the larger congregational gathering. And I do believe, as the pastor, you know, the Bible says you're to know the state of your flock. And we've evaluated where our strengths are, where we're weak at. That's part of, we're going to get to that Proverb 27. Know the state of your flock. I believe that there's a lot of love in this body. I want to read you an email that a gal sent me. I met with her. She's coming out of, I don't know how many years, 15, 20 years of Mormonism. And this is what she said. She said, my mom and I were talking on the phone. Her parents go here. My mom and I were talking on the phone last night, and she was telling me how much she loved Calvary. We started coming together in August. She has never in her life, of all the years of going to church, felt this excited every Sunday morning to come. She just can't wait to get there. I have to echo that same feeling as I come every week. I don't have every answer to every scripture concerning Mormonism versus Christianity, but I do know I have, and then she capitalizes every word of never, but I do know I have never felt so loved, so welcomed, so human, so accepted, and in such good company. Isn't that a neat testimony of someone coming into our body? And there's a place for us to love one another in the larger settings and to greet each other, take time to pray with each other before we leave, share what's going on. But really, it's in the house churches that love can abound. You know, that the little bit of time while, you know, you're going to the restroom loving on someone, or, you know, getting to the coffee cart or walking to the car together, it's just, there's just not a whole lot of time for that love to abound the way that God has for us. Much, much more He has for us. Look at the Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, or it could be translated with family love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Just the tremendous loving one another, honoring each other, giving preference. Here and in Philippians 2, we read the same exhortation. And, you know, there's the opportunities here. No, you go in the bathroom door first. No, you go ahead. Here, you use the drinking fountain first. Or, you know, you take the bulletin, you know. Or, here, you know, in the parking lot, you know, the traffic jam because everyone's saying, you go first. No, you go first. And there are the opportunities to give preference to one another, but really, it's in the smaller house church settings that I think that this type of one another passage is going to just come alive to us. Obviously, our homes, our marriages, but then our church family. And these one another's, to me, when I think of them, I think, Lord, this is what I know You want to do in this body. Romans 14, pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. There's all of these verses. We won't quote them all in the New Testament of being at peace with one another and edifying, building each other up. The next verse, Romans 15, welcome and receive to your hearts is what it's talking about, one another. Even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the glory of God. How has Christ welcomed and received you? That's how God wants us to open up our hearts to each other. Again, that's harder to happen just in a big setting. And we can do the best we can to welcome and receive each other. But even as Christ has welcomed and received us, God wants to take us deeper. John 13 and in Galatians, but through love, serve one another. Well, there's hundreds of people today that are serving this body. Hundreds of people every week that serve so that church can be the way it is. And it's through love we're to serve one another. But again, it's for the larger body, there's only so many ways in a bigger corporate meeting we can serve each other. And yet when we start to really get in each other's lives, at the heart of Christianity is serving each other, putting each other first. This is the vision for the smaller house churches. Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens. Hard to happen in a big setting. Came to church this morning, hard to really know the burdens that each other are carrying. But in the smaller house churches, we'll be able to get real with each other. And, you know, the loss of job, the struggle with the children, the struggle in our marriages, the depression we've been experiencing lately. And 1 Corinthians, that there should be no schisms in the body, but care for one another. You know, it is hard to care for one another in bigger settings. It happens, but in a much more profound way when we break up into smaller house churches, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Or as one translation translates it, allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Hey, we love each other even though we're flawed. You ever see those signs when you're driving through construction? It says, work in progress. We're all works in progress. Work ahead, be patient, slow down. And you begin to love each other and realize that God's doing a work in all of us. None of us have arrived, and we bear with each other. Ephesians 4, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. And we're to be, the next passage there listed, 4:25, says speaking the truth in love. There's a place to speak truth to each other in love. And we're in each other's lives. And again, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, all of the one another, submitting to one another, which is in the context of we're filled with the Spirit and we're submitting to one another, yielding to each other. And turn the page over. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching. And I love this. And this is two different places. Teaching and admonishing one another. You know, there's a place to come to church and be taught from by the pastor teacher. It's for the equipping of the body, that all the saints might be doing the work of the ministry. Not just some. That the pastor teacher equips the saints so they're all doing the work of the ministry. But then there's a place to be admonishing and teaching one another. And it's beautiful when you listen to each other and you begin to share, boy, this is how it spoke to me. And you go, wow. I mean, Rob just shared one side of it there on Sunday morning. So neat to see how you saw it and how you saw it and what you heard. Well, I didn't even think of applying it with the people I work with. Wow, that you're right. That's a great verse for my marriage. Man, I never thought of it that way. And we teach and admonish one another. And we read in the 1 Thessalonians, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. Just increasing love. It's talking about going deeper. May your love go deeper and just keep abounding. And again, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Paul says, I know you're doing that, but all of these one another's, where there's a place to be in each other's lives to comfort and edify. And look at Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so there's a place to, that if we're not careful, sin can deceive us. And we can get lied to and start drifting into sin. And there's a place where we're in each other's lives and we're exhorting. Let us, this is a big verse on fellowship, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How much can that happen in a big setting where we're considering each other and stirring each other on? That can happen in a greater way when we're in smaller house churches. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner, or it could be translated the habit of some. Boy, we don't want to be getting together just out of habit, but we want to be exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day, that is the day of Jesus Christ, his return approaching. That man, as we see the times we're living in, we need to be closer to each other and we need to be exhorting one another to press on in the things of God. James, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Again, that can happen when we meet congregationally, but as we meet in smaller congregations, there's much more room to confess to each other, to pray for each other. That, in fact, that will be what those house churches, that's what the vision is, that we're praying for each other in each other's lives. And finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous. In 1 Peter the next passage. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. As you get close to each other, we're going to fail each other. You know, in a big setting, we can all come off pretty good. There's not too many ways we can wrong each other in a big corporate setting. Well, they got in the hot chocolate line before me, you know. Or there's only so many ways we can let each other down. But you know, if we start to get to know each other, there's going to be failure. And we're going to say things that hurt, and we're going to act ways we shouldn't act. And that's a time for our love to grow, and fervent love that will cover. God's love covers people's failure. And you're able to love them even though they've hurt you, and you don't hold it against them. You don't keep a list. And be hospitable to one another, opening up our homes, opening up our lives. And Larry taught on this last week. If you weren't here, you should hear the message. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, God's grace is so varies. The different giftings we have are so different. Even people that have the same gift, it's in operation differently in our lives. And we're to be good stewards of those gifts, and we're to minister to one another. Well, how well in a big congregational setting can we use our gifts to minister to each other? Where in the smaller house churches, that's the vision, that we can use our gifts and minister to one another as we're exhorted. And last of all, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's the vision, that we'd be in the light together. We'd be walking in the light and not be hiding darkness. But we'd be in the light and sharing with each other. Boy, I'm struggling with this. Man, I did this week. I watched this and I shouldn't have. You know what? I'm on thin ice here, and I just need to come into the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, and we have fellowship with one another. That's what's going on, the house churches. And let me just give you a little bit more of what's happening. The house churches are going to be going for 8 weeks at a time. It's an 8-week commitment. They start today, and they'll go through the middle of March. And then they're going to take a break. And then we're going to plead with our body again for people to get in house churches. And after Easter, all of those same house churches will start back up. Same one you were in, you'll be part of it. And we'll be pleading for more people to in our body, our whole body, to become part of the house churches every time they start up. But they're going to be every new year for 8 weeks, every year after Easter for 8 weeks. We're going to break for the summer. It's all kinds of stuff going on in the church during the summer. And then every fall, in October, the house churches will start up again for another 8 weeks leading up to December. And then we'll break for December every year. And so it's an 8-week commitment. And in all the house churches, children are welcome. And you may need to be a little patient with us, but there's a desire for the children to have, there'd be a plan for the kids in all the house churches. Every house church will look different. I heard some questions. Someone was saying, wait, now, did you say we're rotating from church to church? No, we're not. It's not a rotating thing. You get plugged into a house church, you find a family, and you stay there and you grow with that family. 8 weeks and break. Some churches will, house churches will exercise the freedom not to break. They'll say, hey, we just want to keep pressing through in March to Easter. We want to keep pressing through Christmas and the new year. Our specific group wants to do that, and some will exercise that freedom. Someone was asking, was it like in the place of church? We're going to start meeting in houses. It's not in the place of church. We're going to still be meeting congregationally, but the vision is that everybody in our church would get plugged into a smaller home fellowship that we're calling house churches. And this week, the house churches are all 21 or however many there are going to start with a potluck. So as you look at the house church edition, You can find out which one you're going to go to. There's different ways that you can choose a house church by day of the week. Or maybe you know who the leader is or the host is. Or maybe it's by location that it's in, you know, I'm in Adair Village, and let's see, there's two in Adair Village. Or, you know, I'm in South Albany, and here's the, South Corvallis, and here's the one in South Corvallis, or North Albany, and here's the one in North Albany. So it can be by day, or by leader that you recognize, or by night of the week. But your part is you have to call. Their numbers are all there. If you want to be part of it, call one of those leaders and let them know that you're going to come. Even today, there's five house churches. You could be part of one of those and show up at the potlucks tonight. And then all week long, there's going to be potlucks as these house churches start. And it'll be the first night to get to know each other and get to know the people that are in the house church and just begin to bond together for what God's going to do over the next weeks. You know, as I've been sharing with you, my heart is just being stirred that every member of our body would be part of a house church. And, you know, maybe now your schedule is such that you just can't do it. Well, pray about in the spring getting part of one. And I feel like God's been just stirring my heart that it's in the long-term vision that we're going to see the fruit of more and more people in our body, even those of us that are in-house churches, reaching out to others in our body to become part of a small house church, to be part of your house church. You know how many times here on Sunday morning somebody has come forward and just been broken and by their sin, and they're confessing it, and they're, you know, people being saved or repentant or in need. You know how many times the stage has been filled with people like that, and you know, well, maybe I could get together with you on Tuesday, or well, I sit right here on Sunday. I'll see you next Sunday. And now every one of those times is going to be an opportunity for one of us here in the body to say, hey, come to our house church. Get plugged in to our house church. Come with me. And I want to encourage you guys in the body that as you're interacting with hurting people in our body and people that are away from the Lord and coming back to the Lord, that we reach out and invite them to our house churches. New people to the church. Really, this is your first week here? Hey, come to our house church Tuesday night. Or you said you live in Adair Village? Let me introduce you to Lionel, and you should go to that house church. I'll go with you that first Tuesday night. And, you know, and start reaching out to the people in our body. You might have a heart to lead a house church. And if that's you, I'd like you to fill out a white card. I'd like to know who you are if you have a heart to lead one. You may not be one of these 21 leaders, but you may be in a place that you say, you know, I've done that in the past. I'd really like to be a leader. Or you may be a family that you think, you know what, we'd like to host one. We're not part of that these first 8 weeks, but we would be open to that. Would you fill out the white card in your bulletin and put a note there that you'd like to host one? And you know, but for right now, just get involved in one of the house churches these first 8 weeks and start there. And we're going to finish the service this morning. One of the few times in 15 years we've finished at 10:12. I had a leader in my life saying, you know, it's okay, Rob, if, you know, once in a while you just ended really early. Yeah. I'm going to do that. Next week, I go 20 minutes long next week. But let's have all the house church leaders and their wives come up. Just have all the house church leaders and their wives come up and stand up on stage. We can spread out over the whole stage. Just come all the way up on stage. Try not to kick Ryan's guitar or anything like that. And I just want to ask for you guys as a congregation. Well, I want you to see. You know, God has blessed our church with quality elders and deacons and leaders in our church. And this doesn't even represent all of them. There's probably a handful, probably a half dozen that aren't here this morning. Would you join me and let's pray for the house churches in our that are going on in our church. And pray for these leaders and pray for the what this represents is starting in our church this week. Would you join me? Let's pray. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the way you have built your church here. Lord, you say that. You say, I will build my church. And Lord, you have been building a church here. And Lord, all the years that we were a mobile church, we think of how you spoke to us in those years that a church is not just a location, an address on a street corner, but that the church is people. And Lord, as you've given us an address on a street corner now, 2125 Lester, Lord, we know that truth still remains, that the church is your people. And Lord, we just want to ask as a congregation your blessing on these leaders and their wives. God, we ask you, would you just anoint these men and gift them and bless them? God, we pray that each one of these house churches would be marked by the leading and the love of your Spirit on these homes. And Lord, we pray that this morning, that the homes, these house churches would be a place where love is abounding and increasing. And Lord, we pray that these homes would be places where we can bear one another's burdens and serve one another and admonish one another and submit to one another, love one another, Lord, stirring one another on. Lord, would you just bless these house churches that they would be havens of light, refuge, just oases of light where your people can walk in the light, where we can confess and pray and be transparent. Lord, we know that won't happen overnight, but Lord, we just pray, would you move on our body, those that are here today that aren't yet part of a house church, maybe those that you're stirring to be a leader of one, even now, or somebody that you're stirring that they could host one. Lord, or those that just, they've been part of this church a long time, but has never really been that real family love here. Lord, would you just bless these house churches? Lord, move on us as a congregation to respond to what you're doing. We thank you for these leaders. And Lord, we know this represents, Lord, a commitment and a lot of sacrifice to all of these hosts that are represented by these that are here too, Lord. We just pray your blessing on the host families, that, Lord, they'd be blessed for opening up their houses. And Lord, we pray for those of us in the body that will be going into open houses, that we could really honor them for opening their houses and really be mindful of them sharing their house with us. And but Lord, just bless and lead. And Lord, we pray that this coming 8 weeks and then the next 8 weeks that you just keep growing in our church, Lord. That, Lord, this burden on my heart these last 15 years, that, Lord, you'd bring a correction to that. Lord, we believe you are bringing correction to our course. That we're not just a church with another big gathering, but God, would you bring the depth now to our church? Lord, I even pray for people that they're sitting today or they're going to listen today and there's nothing in them that wants to be part of a house church. Lord, would you just move and change hearts? And Lord, even as you're changing the course of our church in a large scale way, would you change the course family by family as it needs changed? Make us the church family you want us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't we stand up? And could you guys just all step down to the front row there? And we'll just have you stay there in the front row. Can you guys come up and just say hi to these and encourage and greet and meet someone you don't know that's doing a house church? That's how we're going to end today, okay? Come up. Come up, say hi. Come up, greet them. Come up, meet them. Maybe it's just meeting them. And just find out about what's going on in the house churches, okay? Even if you know them, just come up, say, hey, right on. Excited for you. That's how we're finishing today.